Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. This is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. What is it, just a couple of days after Christmas? I hope it was a wonderful, wonderful Christmas holiday, and I hope you're going to have a happy, happy New Year. This will be the last show of the year, so I'm going to just relax and have some fun and talk about the topic that I love probably as much as I love talking about creativity, and that's animals. I just love critters. I mean, I really do. I love this line. I don't think I made it up. I don't know where I heard it. We're not smart enough to know how smart animals are. And I believe that so completely. We're getting smarter about how smart animals are, but we still have so much to learn. Most of the stories I'm going to tell you here about critters are going to be animals that lived in my barnyard, that have lived in my house. The one story I'm going to tell about wild animals, I'm going to tell here right at the top. I was a 15-year-old fishing guide in Northwest Ontario, and I was up there for 3 summers. I don't know which of the 3 summers this occurred. I do not recall that. But I was out with 2 guests in my boat. We were in a quiet cove. We'd been fishing most of the day. And I just happened to look up. And when I looked up, I saw about 300 feet in the air, I saw an osprey, often called a fish hawk. I saw an osprey, and it had just begun to dive, and it dove. Just a wonderful image of this osprey diving down to the water, and about 20 yards away from our boat, it hit the water and flew up with a northern pike. If you think of a freshwater barracuda, that has similar dimensions to a northern pike. This one was small. This one was about the size of a hammer handle. And it was flipping and flapping back and forth as the osprey flew away with it. Well, then, and of course, it has the guests are watching this as well, then literally out of the blue soars a big old bald eagle. And it smashes into the osprey, a chest, you know, just like a body slam into the osprey that drops the northern pike. The northern pike is flipping and flapping and turning and twisting as it falls towards the water. The bald eagle collects itself, turns around, and soars and just swoops down and catches that northern pike just at the surface of the water and flies away with its nice meal. And the guests and I, we just sat there in the boat stunned. We just were blown away by what we had just happened to see. It happened about as long as it took for me to just explain it to you is how quickly it all occurred. Now, let's transition. Let's transition into critters that live around our houses or in our barns. I'm going to start with dogs. And I'm going to begin by telling you this awesome piece of research into dogs and their relationship with humans. I admire deeply the design of this research. Whoever came up with this research project design was quite a creative person. Imagine a long rectangular room. At one end of the room is a dog, and at the other end of the room is a human. Down the middle of the rectangular room, across its width, is a barrier. Half the barrier is opaque. Neither the dog nor the human can see through it. Half the barrier is glass. Both the dog and the human can see through it. On the dog side of the barrier have been placed 2 chew toys. Left to their own devices, the dogs will show interest in those 2 toys, roughly 50-50, right? As interested in one as they are interested in the other. When the human is directed to say, fetch, 90% of the time, I think it's like 92 or 93% of the time, the dog chooses the play toy that is on the glass, at the glass barrier, at the foot of the glass barrier. Think about that for a second. Almost 100% of the time, When the dog is told to fetch, they fetch the object on the glass side. And have you thought this the way I think it? And that is that the dog is thinking about how the human is thinking. The dog is considering how the human is thinking. And they choose the object, the toy on the glass side, because they say to themselves, says the dog, oh, the human can't see the other one because it's on the opaque side. They must mean this one that's on the glass side. Isn't that cool? That is so cool. It doesn't surprise me at all. I've spent my whole life, I've got my first dog when I was 8 years old, and I'm sure there's been a year here or a year there where I didn't have one, but many more years where I've had two or three. It didn't surprise me at all. I time and again, I've watched my dogs watch me and figure out what it is that I'm going to do next. And so I just love this piece of research that really, you know, just really brings home that point. Here's something else we're going to talk about before we get into some particular stories about dogs and critters that I've raised. And that is a research social scientist person who's come up with, who's created a taxonomy of the 4 degrees of imagination. And this behaviorist social scientist believes that dogs and many other animals as well experience the first 3 degrees of imagination that I'm going to share with you. The first is that you can imagine a quality, you can see an object, right? You see an object, and you can imagine a quality that you're not directly experiencing. My best example of that is I can see an orange. It's far enough away from me that I can't actually smell it, but seeing it stimulates my thinking, stimulates my imagination, and I can imagine smelling it. So that's the first degree of imagination. Dogs apparently share that with us. The second degree of imagination is that you see an object and it reminds you of another object. The example the researcher gives is you see some water, you see a pond, and it makes you think of wine, and thinking of wine makes you think of a wine glass. The researchers believe that dogs have that level of imagination, as do many other animals. The third is that without any visual stimulation, your imagination allows you to recall something that you've seen before, right? Something that you've seen before, you can spontaneously imagine it even though there's nothing prompting you, but you've seen it before. The fourth degree, which is, again, the level of imagination, as researchers say, isn't shared with other animals, including dogs, is your ability that only humans have, that we can imagine something that we've never seen before. We can imagine a whole new construct. We can imagine a whole new idea, a whole new thing. And that's a level of imagination only we have got. And I'll be talking to you more about dogs and goats and horses and ponies when you come on back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. This show is going to be about animals, about critters. When I was a little boy, there was a book by Ernest Thomas Seton titled Wild Animals I Have Known. I'm going to talk to you now about barnyard and household animals that I have known. I'm going to start with dogs, although there'll be a piglet in there right away. One of the most wonderful dogs we had. And let me stop for a minute and give you some context. The following stories all took place over about a 20-year period, the 20-year period that we lived on our little six-acre farm, or as I often would refer to it as, our little farmette, down 751. If you're heading south on 751 and don't turn left into South Point and keep on going in all those big apartments now that are on your right, right before you get to Stagecoach Road, that's where our 6 acres were, and that's where we lived again for 20 years, and we just filled it up with animals and dogs. And one of the dogs that we had, one of my daughter's favorites, I was there with my wife and my 3 daughters for all that time, was a half boxer, half lab named Sassy. And Sassy was incredibly athletic. She could run all day, But she was the sweetest thing, and she was the sweetest thing you ever saw. One spring, about 3 or 4 years into living on that farm, I got a phone call from a friend who was an engineer. He'd been part of a team that had created a piece of hardware that was designed for a really very specific objective, which was to help sows who are feeding their babies on the teat, to help those babies get off the teat sooner so that the sow can get back into a commercial usefulness and the piglets will grow faster. And at the end of the experiment, they were able to find homes with commercial hog farmers for all the piglets except for one. This piglet had a condition called the shakes. And piglets that have the shakes usually don't outgrow them and never are good weight gainers. So none of the commercial farmers wanted this piglet. And it was going to be destroyed, is what my friend told me, unless I was going to agree to rescue it. And so I did. It was a male. We had this cute little pink piglet. Well, first of all, let me say that when I was on the phone with my friend and getting ready to say yes, it was great. I turned and I saw there in the living room were all three of my daughters. And I said to my daughters, they were probably the oldest would have been in the early high school years and then down to probably about third or fourth grade between the three of them. I said to my daughters, hey, I've got the opportunity. We've got the opportunity to get this little 18-pound, 16-pound little piglet. But folks, ladies, I will only say yes to taking this piglet. It's going to be killed if we don't take it. It's going to be put down if we don't take it. And so I'm only going to say yes to Pat here on the phone if you all understand that this piglet's name is Supper. Because by November, it'll be a 350-pound hog, and I don't want a 350-pound hog as a pet. And so the girls quickly agreed. And so after a couple of weeks that we had Supper, I had him sent to a vet to have his tusks removed and to be castrated. And so the vet delivered him back to our farm after the surgeries, and the anesthesia must have worn off just as it got out of the truck, because as it hit the ground, it began to just squeal in pain, just squeal in pain. Well, here's what Sassy did, and it made my daughters cry. What Sassy did was found the right path where the piglet was headed, and she laid down right in front of the piglet and let the piglet burrow into her underside, into her belly, underneath her thigh, as if it were nursing, and just stayed there, and it moaned, and it groaned, and it moaned, and it groaned, and it was there for 5-10 minutes. And Sassy just laid there and cared for the piglet. Oh, man, that made me so happy to see that. We all loved Sassy so much. We had an Irish setter at the same time, or soon thereafter, we got an Irish setter named Grace. And in those days, I was doing most of my work was helping first-time entrepreneurs start their businesses in a consulting-like relationship with them, which meant I had a lot of control over my time, which meant I would take my work out into the woods. And going out in the woods in those days would probably mean taking my dogs and taking my goats. I'll mention the goats in a minute if we don't run out of time. On this March day, it was the first time we could get outside for about a week. It had just been raining and raining and raining. The 6-acre farmette is south, south, south on New Hope Creek, at a point where the branches of New Hope Creek from Orange County and Durham County are starting to come together into the main channel. That's just a couple of miles from Jordan Lake, its ultimate destination. Well, where we were was in a meadow where I was sitting underneath a tree working on my work, and my dogs went and roamed and the goats were grazing nearby. And we're just right above a place where the last couple of branches of New Hope Creek are coming together in the woods, headed to the mainstream onto Jordan Lake. And it was flooded. It was badly flooded down there. And there's lots of trees. And so it was just like a flooded forest just below the meadow. And I'm sitting there under a tree, I'm working, and all of a sudden I hear one of my dogs bark, and then quickly I realize it's Gracie, and then quickly I realize she's in distress. She's concerned. And she's barking in one spot. She's not moving. She's not all that far away. She's not close, but she's not all that far away. So I put away my stuff and I get myself collected to stand and go see what's going on. Well, by the time I've stood, Gracie has run and found me. And the minute she sees me coming, she turns around and she runs back to where she came from. I followed her, and I followed her to the edge of this flooded creek, flooded forested creek. And she looked into the water, and she was barking and barking. It was heavily wooded. I couldn't see exactly what she was barking at initially, but then I could, and it was Sassy. And Sassy's in the middle of this ferocious current. And Sassy didn't like water. I was surprised to see, even though she was half lab, man, she was not eager to get into the water. But she's out there, and she's pounding the surface of the water with her front legs, just pounding it. But she's not moving. The current is extremely strong, but she's not moving. She's like in one place, pounding, pounding, pounding the water with her front legs. And my thought was, oh, my, her hind quarters must be sort of like maybe trapped in the fork of a deadfall tree below her. So I throw my phone aside, flip my boots off, jump into this cold, cold, cold water, walk while I can, then swim when I have to, and get out to where Sassy is. And a green briar thorned vine has wrapped around her neck. And the harder she works to swim, the tighter and tighter and tighter it is getting. I unwrap it. I push her towards shore. Gracie swims back with her. I swim back with her. We get to the shore. Gracie has been so upset that the minute she gets to the shore, she just empties herself from all ends, right? She had just been so anxiety-ridden by all this. She just empties herself. But she saved Sassy's life. We got a couple more stories for you when you come back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. I've been talking to you about animals and dogs, and I'm going to talk about another dog, another favorite dog of mine. His name was Bo. And Bo had the most sophisticated situational intelligence of any dog I have ever had. And he was also very, very playful. I remember once my wife had a Waldorf school preschool on our farm in our field. And we had this big, big slide for the kids, right? This wide slide. It's probably 3 yards wide, aluminum, or not aluminum, I'm sure, tin slide over wood. The surface of the slide was tin, you know, over the wood. And one day I was looking out the kitchen window and I watched as Bo ran up the slide, turned around, and slid back down again. Ran up the slide, turned around, and slid back down again. There was another time where I was hearing this unusual ball bouncing. It was bouncing frequently, but inconsistent rhythm. I wasn't quite sure who would be bouncing a ball, you know, once and then waiting for a few seconds and bouncing it again. So I came on down to see what was going on, and there was Bo with a tennis ball, throwing it down on the ground and catching it. Throwing it down on the ground and catching it. Isn't that an aspect? Both of those, that playfulness is an aspect of creativity, there's no doubt. Well, here's his situational intelligence. My middle daughter and my two grandchildren and my wonderful son-in-law live in Weaverville, right outside Asheville. So over about I drove to Asheville, to Weaverville one day I spent the night there. And the next morning when I awakened, I was going to head on to Atlanta. But before I left for Atlanta, my two granddaughters are playing with Bo. They're probably at this point 6 and 4, and they're playing with Bo like he's their doll. They're putting bows in his hair. They're walking him around the house with a ribbon as a leash, and he's exactly the dog he needs to be for them. He's exactly the playmate that they need him to be. I get Bo in the car with me. We drive down to Atlanta. I was doing some creativity workshops in a warehouse area of Atlanta, or a refurbished warehouse area in Atlanta. And Bo came in to the workshop with me, and he greeted everybody at the door as they came in with a wag and a sniff. Then when I got started, he went over to one of the corners of the room, curled himself up, and stayed there in the corner throughout the workshop. Well, when it was over, the two folks who had invited me to come down asked me if I wanted to go out and have a beer with them. And so it was a short walk down the street to a bar where there were tables outside. Bo had never been in a city before. So he's walking through the street, down the streets of Atlanta on a leash with me and just totally relaxed about it, just totally calm about it. Cars rushing by, people coming by. He had never experienced any of this before. He accepted the reality as it was. Curled up under a table, we sat outside of the bar. He curled up under the table, and again, the car is going by, people going by, and he's just perfectly relaxed, just perfectly relaxed. So we get back in the car. We're now headed to my brother's farm, which is right outside Athens, Georgia. I was going to spend a couple of days with him just to have some fun. Got on the road, realized I needed some gas, stopped to get some gas, got back in the car, realized I was a little bit hungry, so I went back in, bought a slice of pizza, brought it back to the car, and then I had another realization. I probably should use the toilet facilities before I continued. So I put the slice of pizza on the passenger seat of the car, went in, did my business, came on back. Bo was sitting in the driver's seat, and there was the piece of pizza just waiting for me on the paper plate. The final chapter in this story about Bo is then, so I'm headed on into Athens to my brother's farm. We pull up the driveway, and I don't remember how many exactly. Was it four? Was it five? Was it six farm dogs that my brother owned? They're waiting for us. They're excited about us driving up. They're surrounding the car, waiting for us to come out. Bo hops out of the car, and he's now perfectly a farm dog. He fits in with them perfectly. He was in all stages exactly the dog that he needed to be. I've seen research that suggests that dog owners score high, perform well on various creativity exercises relative to non-dog owners. The theory is that owning a dog improves your holistic thinking, right? You see things bigger. You see the whole system. You see all the relationships more than you might if you weren't a pet owner. Here, let me see one really, really quickly. Well, I'll throw this one at you. I love rats, I've discovered. My grandson living next door to us earlier in the year, about 6 months ago, announced he wanted to get rats as a pet, and I just thought that was the silliest thing I could possibly imagine. Who would want to have rats as a pet? Well, he got two of them, and I go over there four or five times a week and just sit on his bedroom floor, let the rats out of their cage, and just watch these things, explore their world. They're so imaginative. They're so creative. They're so personable. They'll climb up into me and nestle into the crook of my arm, roll over on their back, and let me rub their stomach with sense. I have a sense that there is a genuine appreciation for affection. We love animals, don't we, folks? We are not as smart enough to know how smart animals are. I hope you had a wonderful holiday. I'll talk to you next year. Thank you for listening.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.